to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we're checking in with food news.
Yeah.
Night teeth and Bachelor contestant Buzz Lightyear.
That was one of your better ones, Amelia.
That was good. Thank you.
Before we get into the show, let's take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr. and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
All right, Tea Time is checking in with food news. We got food on the mind. Thanksgiving is coming up-ish. Mm-hmm.
Halloween first.
Oh, I mean,
Halloween. We got
true.
The candy holiday of the year.
Sure.
And then the food holiday of the year. So,
right.
No,
and there's
time.
Also some good stuff that came out this week in regards to this. So, Kate, start us off.
All right. A couple weeks ago, there was a viral review on Facebook and also on Twitter of Brock's turkey dinner candy corn, which... is obviously just like they do it so that people like us will talk about how gross it is. However, we have to talk about how gross it is because it's disgusting. So they made, first of all, candy corn, all-time bad candy. Just atrocious.
Absolutely.
Do we have anyone who is pro candy corn on this podcast?
Wait.
Speak now.
What about the little marshmallow pumpkins? I like those.
We'll allow those. Those are allowed. Different kind of thing. Same company, different thing. So this is like candy corn, but it's flavored like a turkey dinner. So Heather Martin, who is a mother of two from Texas, but who has a way with words, decided to go on social media and review the candy corn. So there are six flavors. They are roasted turkey, green beans, stuffing, sweet potato pie, cranberry sauce, and coffee. So
can I ask a question?
Yes.
Are they all those are all different in different individual candy corns? That is not a combined flavor.
Correct.
Of one. Okay.
Correct. Okay. They're different individual candy corns. So In Heather's review, she said the first thing that's horrible is that the stuffing, the apple pie, and the turkey and gravy all look incredibly similar. So like, it's just anybody's guess which of those brown candy corns tastes like an apple pie, which is the only one that in the thing that is good.
Right.
The coffee one is a dark brown. She said that's the smell of that one overpowers all the others. So then it makes it difficult to discern any of the others.
Right.
Lulls you into a false sense of security. She said that the cranberry sauce should have been just a home run, which it should have been. That's just a fruit flavor. Like, can we not get that right? However, that was quite horrible. There was no candy or no cranberry involved at all. It tastes like a cough drop. And then I'm just going to read her words of the green bean casserole candy corn. She said, friends, it is unforgivable. If you left a cup of green tea on the porch in bad weather for a week, during which time it attained sentience and promptly began plotting your demise. And also you hate green tea. That's what this tastes like. She said it tastes like you mowed the lawn with your mouth open. Really atrocious. And I just, candy corn is so bad already. They didn't have to make it worse. With that said, if we were like in an office setting and somebody brought in a bag of these, like I would try them, you know?
Sure.
So
I don't know why they had to do the turkey dinner plus the apple pie plus the coffee.
Right.
Why?
I don't know. Like, if you're going to go all in, just do like mashed potatoes.
Yeah. Or how about the drink is like a cider, you know, right. like some spiced cider situation.
I also thought the coffee was weird. It doesn't match the rest. But yeah, I would try at least a couple of these just to say I did. Also, in other candy corn related crimes, there is a blogger who runs the site Bounded by Buns, who blogs about sandwiches. And thanks to Andrew Gardaro for posting this in our Slack channel minutes before tea time today. I was like, great, perfect. Let's add it to food news. Jonathan Surratt, in honor of Halloween, created the candy corn dog sandwich. First of all, he's calling it a sandwich. It's clearly a hot dog. All he's done is, a lot of effort went into this. He separated all of the candy corns into their colors. So he has like the dark orange, the light orange, and the white. He melted them down separately, mushed them together into a log so that they're like a candy corn colored log. Although he also like did a bad job. So it's like really ugly and bad.
This is,
And then he put it on a hot dog bun and covered it in mustard and ketchup and took a bite out of it.
I haven't eaten breakfast yet, and something is happening in my stomach. I feel a bit queasy looking at these photos.
Yeah, really bad. Ooh. Really, I mean, obviously just like a prank for the holiday, but the picture itself is just atrocious. So candy corn, let's not, is the takeaway from just all of this.
Why do people insist on making shit with hot dogs? Do you remember the viral thing where the spaghetti, you stick the raw spaghetti into the hot dog and then it's like all noodle-y around? I'll have to send you guys that later.
We have covered several hot dog adjacent food items. Like the pickle, the pickle inside the hot dog. In peanut butter, yeah. Honestly, still would eat that one, but...
Okay, we gotta keep going. Okay, next, this was riveting. This came from Mel Magazine, and it went viral. It was posted in our Ringer Slack as well. Title of this article is, Meet the Guy Who Spends Just $150 a Year to Eat All of His Meals at Six Flags. Immediately had to click on it. This is fascinating. So it's a story about this man named Dylan. He's a 33-year-old electric engineer in Santa Clarita, California. And apparently, he has figured out a system where you can pay $150 for unlimited year-round access to Six Flags, which includes parking and two meals a day. So he times it, and he eats lunch and dinner there every single day. But to his credit, in the 7 years that he's been doing this, paid down his student loans. He got married. He bought a house. So this is a successful way, I believe, to do your finances. To give you a couple details, essentially this started where he was doing an internship and out the window, he could see Six Flags. He's also a roller coaster guy. And then he found out about this annual pass and has been doing it ever since. So he said the first year he was doing this, he never went to the grocery store. He would run to Six Flags during his lunch break, you know, at work, run back, and then on his way home, he'd pit stop there and also get dinner. Before I go further, do you guys have thoughts at the top of this?
It just seems like such a hassle to get in and out. I mean, just like as a person who like hates to park and like hates crowds, like braving the entryway of Six Flags, you have to go through security. You have to fucking wear a mask. You have to do all this shit and then stand in line at whatever hellish food court they have.
Right.
To get lunch and dinner every single day. And that's better than just stopping at McDonald's.
I know. I agree.
And also, how, you know what, like at Disneyland, it's like you have to pay a lot for parking. Do you have to pay a lot for parking for Six Flags?
No, I mean, parking is included in this annual pass.
Oh, it is. Oh, okay.
It's all inclusive.
Wow. It can't be easy.
No,
sure. I mean, and also, like, what kind of food is this guy eating? Let me tell you.
Well, okay, so the first year, the menu was very limited. This was obviously over 7 years ago. Burgers, fries, pizza, breadsticks, and then, or you get a sandwich. He says it wasn't really healthy. Obviously, in the last couple years, everybody as a society has been trying to make a more inclusive menu. So he says now they have some meatless meatballs, some vegan options, some turkey dogs. He said there's some seasonal options that get them through the year. There's like a Thanksgiving corn dog. It's a turkey dog topped with cranberry sauce, stuffing, and a slathering of mayonnaise.
And mayonnaise? I was with you until the mayonnaise.
If you click into the article I linked, you can see a photo and maybe we'll link it out on our cursed Instagram. But it's bad. It is a slathering of mayonnaise. And now
I was really into that until the mayonnaise. Wow, that's horrible.
Anyway, yeah. Then he says he had this menu item, the chicken balls, about seven. He's had around 750 balls total in the last 7 years. He's eaten 2,000 meals at Six Flags. But with that math, the price per meal is 50 cents. You can't beat that, you guys.
Wow.
He's paying about 50 cents per meal.
What?
There.
I mean, these chicken balls are like covered in cheese and bacon bits and
it's nasty,
hot sauce. I want to see a picture of this man. I need to know like what this has done to him.
Right.
As a person.
He says his wife is, now they grocery shop a little bit. They cook some at home. I don't know what I would do if my partner or the person I was dating was.
How did he get married in the first place? How do you tell? They're like, hey, where do you want to go on a date? He's like, actually, I only have one option. No. We have to go to Six Flags.
Cost effective. I don't know. Amelia, would you ever do this for any?
No,
let's say you got free meals at Six Flags.
No, I just, again, like, I don't want to drive there. You have to waste gas money.
It's
like,
the hassle.
I'm not doing it.
The hassle is what's stopping you two from eating every meal at Six Flags.
Well, the hassle and like, I don't want to eat fair food all the time, you know?
Right. Yeah. I
would be more likely to eat fair food than I would to be like, deal with parking, deal with the entry, deal with the crowd.
You would be just like, too many people. But everything else is kind of fine.
I mean, I'm fine. I would love to eat unhealthy food all the time, but I can't. I can't deal with all the hassle.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, wow. Let's move on. Next one.
Okay, sorry. I said in this outline that I would eat Megan Thee Stallion's hottie sauce at Popeyes before this podcast, and then I didn't, so I apologize. But Megan Thee Stallion has hottie sauce, and it is at Popeyes, and she's had some really great ads where she's like dressed as the devil. It's really, she looks great. Yeah, it's awesome, and I love chicken and hot sauce, so I hopefully will be able to try it sometime. And then I read a review, and the person said that it tastes exactly like Popeyes sweet heat sauce, so it's like they're nearly identical.
Just rebranded. So, do they have Popeyes where you live? Because they don't really have them in Indiana.
They have them here. Yeah.
Oh,
But I think it was like a recent, like, you know, recently we got Dunkin' Donuts like in the past five years. And it's like, wow, we're becoming a big city. This is a big market city now. Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Hottie sauce is really cute. Also, I'm reading an article about this. Did you know that Taco Bell named Lil Nas X as chief impact officer?
Yes, I did see that.
How did that skip our radar? Anyway, separate food news.
We'll
okay, let us know
in.
If you try it.
All right, last one. I took this because no one else wanted it. Pepsi has a new Cracker Jack flavored soda. And yes, it comes with a prize. However, the prize is Pepsi temporary tattoos. So it's like, that's not a prize. However, I would try this, actually. This kind of sounds good to me. It's got caramel, popcorn, and peanut flavors. Thoughts? Yeah? No?
I think it's good. But
yeah,
you can. I want you to try it.
I mean, I would have to win it because you can't actually buy it.
Oh, it's one of those things. Oh,
it's one of those.
That's
I know they think that people like really want this. And I'm like, I would try it, but
I'm not gonna.
What you have to do is sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Wait, can you repeat the flavor profile of that soda?
Caramel, popcorn, and peanut.
Huh.
Mm.
No. All right.
Thanks.
Fair
not
enough.
Sure that
definitely, definitely not worth singing the classic tune "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" on Twitter or TikTok. But
yeah, I would say so. Except I will say, if you do it, you'll probably be one of like two people, so you probably will win.
That's
also
actually true.
Actually, this is funny. So the tweet actually is: do you want prizes like Pepsi Cracker Jack or final series tickets? Like they put the Pepsi first, like, oh, that's what people really want. And then they're like, oh, or you could also get tickets to the World Series. Hmm. So, you know, weigh your priorities. and if anyone wins this and tries it, please let us know.
Please let us know. Okay. Moving on. We got Not Worth the Tea, This Week in Social Media, and Relationship News. I've been waiting to talk about this for a week now. This is Paris Hilton's wedding registry that came out. It's just as insane as you'd imagine. She's getting married November 11th to that man, Carter Rube.
To that man.
And it's a public wedding registry, which I guess makes sense, but I'm just shocked that, you know, it's just out there and I can see what Paris Hilton wants in her home. And it's just as gaudy and expensive as all of you guys are imagining. you got a $1,000 caviar server with a spoon. You have a $400 singular wine glass. You have a $990 lamp. If you wanted a more affordable option, there's $250 ice tongs. And the thing is, like every registry, you can see who's already bought the items so you don't have a duplicate for the bride and groom. So people are so buying her these $500 Hermes plates and these fucking, sorry for my language, but these like $250 little tiny coaster situations. And it's like, I guess that would be Paris Hilton's, you know, wedding guest, but it still feels crazy.
It's so funny that this is just like publicly accessible to me.
Yeah. It is not password protected or anything.
Right.
Paris Carter 2021. It's so easy.
Maybe she's hoping people will take, not pity, but like interest, you know, and buy her stuff. I don't know.
Right. Like, no one can afford this. Also, well, I'm sorry, but like this stuff is gaudy. It's just like all of her plates and all these sets that she's, and they're all Hermes, are just... You can just tell it's going to be a stuffy home for Carter and Paris. But
gross.
Anyway.
Gross. I'm sorry.
Anyway, check it out. It's on Geary's. You can literally find it on Google. It's very easy. Anyway, next one, Amelia.
Yes, Adele. She freaking loves Celine Dion, which, you know, Celine Dion has some hits.
Absolutely.
I'm not obsessed with her the way that some people are obsessed with her, but I will give them... you know, their due on loving Celine Dion. Anyway, she recently did a 73 questions YouTube segment and she was like, oh, my friend James Corden, you know, she said James Corden, who's a friend of mine, but also does carpool karaoke, which is like, what? Yes, we know that. Like, duh. Like, I love you, Adele, but what are you, like, do you think we're all idiots? I don't, okay. Anyway, so apparently she... I don't know. He did a carpool karaoke with... I don't really watch carpool karaokes. Do you guys do that?
No. I used to. In their, like, heyday.
Sure,
you know, before they ruined it.
Right. Exactly. So
not
I
so
guess
much anymore.
He made Celine Dion spit on a piece of paper and then Adele framed it, so...
Just what? Her spit on paper?
No, sorry. Gum. I'm sorry. I didn't mention gum.
Like,
I'm
what?
Sorry. Sorry. Well,
I mean, that's weird too,
I'm
but...
I'm sorry. Gum.
Okay, so Celine Dion chewed a piece of gum, spit it out onto a piece of paper.
Yeah.
I'm picturing like James Corden doing like the mom thing where they're like spit it out like right into their hand.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Then Adele has it.
Yeah.
And framed it.
That's
okay.
Yeah.
This is kind of annoying because obviously Adele could have anything of Celine Dion she wants. I bet they have met. I bet they're
right.
even, you know, like Celine Dion could have given her some personal nice items she framed. This is just kind of for...
It's a bit, yeah.
It's a bit, and which pisses me off, but it's whatever. It's fine.
Interesting. I also hate 73 questions, but that's a different... I hate that
guy. They're so awkward. They're so scripted.
Oh, my God.
It's awful. I never watch them if I can help
it.
Never forget when Kendall Jenner said her spirit animal was Tupac. I'm happy that lives online forever.
Wow, I watched that one. I'm assuming you guys made me.
Yeah, probably.
For content purposes. I do remember that.
Next... This is not worth the tea, although I know some people are excited about it, so I'm not going to poo-poo on it too much. But Skims and Fendi are collaborating.
They
are releasing it on November 9th. And it's, it's like Fendi-labeled Skims wear. So you got some of her dresses and tops that start at $950. The leggings are going to go for $1,100. And then you got a $3,000 puffer jacket. And it's exactly all the Skims that the items of clothing that already exist, they have just slapped the Fendi logo on it, which is fine. I mean, people really love labels and, but I'm just like, oh my God. Also, I don't know if you guys feel this way. It feels like Skims is doing something new and releasing some new collection every single day. And I can't keep up.
They do. It's amazing. They do. They do at least one per week, if not two drops per week.
Right. Amelia, speak for your brand. What are they doing? What is Skims doing here?
Okay. I don't know, but I'm not going to lie to you. I was like kind of into this Fendi drop, but then I was like, the cheapest thing is $100. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, totally.
Like, I don't have that kind of disposable cash. No.
Which of you has the dentist that's really into Skims?
It's fucking Amelia.
Oh, yeah, oh, my dentist is into Skims. Yeah. I need to go back to her. Thank you for
so talking through with her.
I do like Skims, but I'm not paying like $100 for a pair of briefs.
There's a limit.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Right. So. Agreed. Next one. This is actually a piece of good news, Amelia.
Yes. Dancing with the Stars. I mean, I guess it kind of went viral. I feel like, you know, every once in a while it goes viral for like a good dance or something. And it was Horror Week this week, which I thought was really fun. And two dances, I think, took people by surprise in how good they were. One being Iman Shumpert, former NBA player, and I think her name is Daniela. He did a contemporary dance with her where she stood on his shoulders and they danced to I've Got Five on It from the Us soundtrack. And it was amazing. Did you guys watch?
Yes. That? Really good. Also, I like that he's swinging her around.
He was swinging her around. Manpower.
Crazy.
It was really cool. I watched that video like upwards of 10 times. So that was cool. And then also JoJo Siwa, which I do think it's a little unfair that she's competing on the show because I think it's great what she's doing with having a female partner. However, she got famous from Dance Moms. Like she is a dance. This is
objectively a dancer.
Yeah. And she obviously she's been killing it. She did an It inspired one where she dressed up as the goddamn clown. And it was really good too.
Dancing with the Stars is not in its flop era.
They're thriving. I saw a really funny video where they were like very wholeheartedly doing press, like doing an interview after or before their dance. And JoJo Siwa literally in full Pennywise drag, like as the clown, is just like very calmly like talking into a microphone with like this poor reporter who has to stare down and interview Pennywise.
It's horrific.
But yeah, they both have been great. And like people are like really talking about it, like in a way.
They are.
You know, why is Sean Spicer on Dancing with the Stars, which was like the last big Dancing with the Stars item that people were talking about.
And another thing with that is like Olivia Jade is still on. Let's vote her out, America.
Get her out of there. Come
vote
on now.
That bitch out.
Amelia, let me ask you, is this going to replace, let's say this continues, this like rise, is this going to replace the Masked Dancer / Singer for you? The Masked franchise for you?
I already moved on from the Masked franchise. You know, I'll watch, I'll maybe watch a performance here and there. I know the season, because they always have new seasons on, is going on right now. And I just like,
is
I don't
it?
Care.
Again?
Yeah.
God, it never ends.
Yes, I know. And, but to be honest, like here's the thing. I tried watching Dancing with the Stars, like the episode on Hulu. And I was like, I hate all these people. Like, I usually love Tyra, but she's just a lot. And all the judges are annoying. And I'm just I don't want to watch this. I don't
just stick to the YouTube clips. That's the only way to do it.
And also it's like these ballroom dances, like they're stuffy and I don't care. Make them all contemporary dances.
Yeah.
You know?
Agreed.
It's true. So. Agreed.
Okay. Yeah. Next one.
Oh, this is kind of depressing, but I just need to update everyone. There are a lot of rumors. Could be true, could be false, but lots of rumors that Olivia Munn and John Mulaney have already broken up. Would be sad. Obviously, Olivia Munn is pregnant with his child, as has been confirmed. But it's just I'm exhausted. I'm kind of like, I don't want them to be broken up because honestly, we put so much time and effort into complaining about this relationship that like, I need that to, you
it
know,
would be
it's
for
like,
waste. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, rooting for them. Hopefully the rumors are false, but like there are a lot of different sort of unconfirmed sources saying that they are donezo. So tough.
That's
tough.
Really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, just an update.
Yeah. All right. We can move on. Just keep us posted, I suppose.
I will.
Lastly, Amelia.
Lastly, really quick, BJ Novak, who is most famous for playing Ryan on The Office. I don't really know what other stuff he's done. No offense to him, but apparently, he said on Instagram stories years ago, someone mistakenly put an image of me on a public domain site, and now apparently I am on products all around the world. And this is true because BuzzFeed did this like article and showcased all these different products that he's randomly on. And it's like, it looks like it was like some outtake from The Office of Ryan or something. He's just like, you know, just staring out into the camera. And he's on like a razor from China. He's on paint from Uruguay. some random Swedish cologne. Like, it is so, like, what the fuck is going on? It's really funny. So
they're just photoshopping his face onto different. They took the one singular image, and then now he's on like a poncho, and they just like photoshopped a body on him.
Exactly.
That's, I guess he does kind of have that like stock man image, kind of like he unrecognizable, but kind of recognizable face.
Yeah, and I'm sure you know, yeah, exactly. Like, he's not so famous where it's like if it was Brad Pitt, everyone would be like, "That's Brad Pitt." It's like, I swear I've seen that guy before, but maybe I'll buy this poncho to charge my memory. Yeah, exactly. So that's it. Sorry. If anyone wants to chime in, let me know.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear are so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on OneSuite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Let's do cringe mode. I'm looking forward to this. Can't wait to discuss with you guys. This week, our cringe mode is covering Night Teeth. It is out on Netflix now. Without further ado, I just kind of want to hand this immediately to Kate so she has to deal with this. Can you talk us through the plot and maybe some of the cast?
Yeah, this was a Kaia McMullen suggestion, which is never a good sign because she doesn't have to watch them. But this movie, at a glance, seemed like pretty much cringe mode core. We've got Megan Fox. I mean, if there was nothing else, that was enough. Debbie Ryan, Sydney Sweeney, Lucy Fry, as well as Alfie Allen and George Lindeborg Jr. Basically, it's like all these girls are vampires and Alfie Allen also, who's in Game of Thrones. And this poor guy, Benny, is like he takes over for his brother, who's like a driver, and he accidentally gets tossed into this like vampire versus humans war in LA. And he's like driving around the vampires and he, you know, just gets tossed into all these situations. He doesn't know what he's doing. He falls in love with Debbie Ryan in one night. Sure. She's a vampire. And then there's like this big conflict and he gets turned into a vampire and decides to spend eternity with Debbie Ryan.
Sure.
That was good. That was very
Thanks.
Good.
It was. Thanks.
So we have a light highlight section, but let's do it. I think I was really charmed by Benny, aka George Lindenberg Jr. He has been in a couple of things, but none that I've seen, like Love, Simon, the two Spider-Man, Homecoming and Far From Home, and then that Transformers remake, like Bumblebee, but haven't seen him. And genuinely, he was a redeeming factor. I thought his performance, where everyone around him was so cringy I could die. He was playing it pretty straight and was pretty charming as this like boyish, like new world, kind of like does it out of his element type of thing. So yes, I'm going to say that. He was a highlight.
Good for him. Good for him.
Then I was really grasping at straws. But they have this car service, like Kate said. And he's driving Debbie Ryan and Lucy Fry around, and there's a GPS system that the car has that looks very advanced, and I would like to have that GPS system. It looks like a video game, and I was like kind of mesmerized. Tried Googling a couple things. No one's written about it yet, but probably soon, you know, it'll get picked up once more people watch this movie. Keep an eye out for that.
Good stuff. Good stuff, Liz.
What else?
So my highlight is that I appreciated that it wasn't scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's Halloween. It's October. We try to do 4 Halloween movies. I missed one last week, but I appreciated that Amelia did not make us watch Malignant, which was possibly on the table earlier in the month. So this movie had vampires, but they were sexy vampires. They weren't scary vampires. And that was a highlight for me.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Amelia, what do you have?
My highlight was that I feel like this movie really wanted to be Collateral. Do you remember that Tom Cruise movie? I actually have never seen that movie, but I've seen a trailer and it just reminded me of it.
Sure.
Because he's like, I think it's Jamie Foxx is driving Tom Cruise and he's like, you know, get into the car and drive me places. And so like this happened, but with vampires.
Exact same movie. Yep.
Exactly. And you know what? I think they missed the mark just in general, but I did like the aesthetic. I like that it was like dark, nighttime, Los Angeles. Yes. I thought that was fun. And honestly, this movie is running on vibes and vibes only.
So true. You
know? It's true. So true, Amelia. As soon as Lucy Fry stuck her head out the window and the wind was blowing, there was some synth music in the back and it was like slow-mo. I was like, okay, there's nothing here. Okay, let's do the lowlights. We all have thoughts. Kate, I hand it to you.
First up. And this is apparently controversial. Amelia disagrees. I know there have been a lot of vampire movies with a lot of vampire adjacent titles, but how was Night Teeth the best we could do? There has to be something better out there, right?
Amelia, what's your counter argument?
I'm lame and I like this title. I thought it was intriguing. I don't know.
Is Night Teeth, it's just because they hunt at, obviously they're vampires.
They have big teeth and it takes place at night.
I don't know. All right. Thought that was cool. I was like, damn. Nice.
Night Teeth.
Makes you think.
I legitimately can't with Debbie Ryan and Lucy Fry's performance in this movie. Oh my God, the fact that we all got past the first 20 minutes is a miracle. Their two characters are like, quote, you know, supposed to be cool, sexy women that are supposed to just be kind of socialites. Like, you know, we don't know that they're vampires exactly yet. And they're just supposed to be these intimidating, like calling Benny Perez like driver and like carted around Los Angeles. Oh my God. I can't tell you how awful it was to see Debbie Ryan in this role. Like, I'm sorry. I can't.
I thought Lucy Fry was 10 times worse.
Yeah, she, to me,
was, she was
Debbie
annoying.
Ryan at least was like the earnest one who like falls in love with the human.
It's true.
Lucy Fry was like, she had like the side mohawk thing where it's like, which we're going to talk about the styling in a minute, but like that, she was like, it's like she looked in the mirror and was like, my hair is 4 inches high and like, this is just what I need to embody.
Yes.
And it was just awful. She was so bad.
It just did not work exactly.
I just thought this movie was so boring. Like I literally looked up and saw that I had an hour and 15 minutes left. And I was like, no, that's not what's going on here. And let me tell you, I've seen the Suspiria remake. So I've had to muscle my way through bad horror films. And this one really takes the cake. It was just like, what is going on? I hate everyone in this film.
Yeah, it was really just like they drive and then he waits outside. They drive, they walk into a room. They drive, someone gets bitten, but like really quickly and in an uninteresting way. They drive, they walk into another room.
Exactly.
Like, what?
And did it get old where they're like, oh, you're scared, driver. Yes. And I'm like, right. Yeah, well, you can only say that a thousand times.
Right.
Like,
no one has ever talked to their driver this much in the history of being driven.
Yeah.
Just stupid. Also, yes. The costuming is so funny to me. I know that obviously there's the vampire look, you know, it's also night. They're supposed to be like spooky, sexy, cool Los Angelinos. Cool. But it was like a teenager thought about a sexy vampire for 5 seconds, was like, done. This is the costuming of every vampire. I'm sorry, but it was bad. It could have been more original. It was just like dark sequins, dark lipstick, and like Sydney Sweeney was in next to nothing, and every other character went. And I was just like, okay. And then also they died within 5 minutes of being on screen, but that's a different problem. But yeah, none of this, I mean, not that it was, I don't know, none of it felt cool to me.
No, the costume. It was very like, you know, 16-year-old walks into like the Hot Topic Halloween section, sees something with a stud on it and is like, I'm an adult and I'm going to wear this for Halloween.
Exactly.
Very tough.
Also, I don't know if you guys agree with this. It does feel like there is better work out there for all of these actors. I cannot believe Sydney Sweeney and Megan Fox were in it. I guess anything vampire related, Megan Fox is like, yes, I'm in. it's Netflix. So that is very cool, especially as like a budding actor. But just like, I mean, Alfie Allen, there's got to be better stuff out there for you.
My thought, especially in terms of Megan Fox and Sydney Sweeney, was that like this must have filmed like pre-COVID, like years and years ago, and then is just coming out now. And so they've kind of each had like a resurgence in the last couple years, maybe. And so this was like, it's like how that movie with Timothée Chalamet and like Elle Fanning or somebody came out really late after, and he like looked so much younger, and everyone was like, why has he made this movie? And it's just because it was really delayed. I have no basis to back this up, but that was what I was thinking while I was looking at them being like, why are you in this?
I get that. I also, on the Netflix point, I think anytime you get a Netflix movie, you got to do it because it's going like this movie was in the top 10 for whatever, top 10. Right. And it's just like, everyone has Netflix. Everyone watches Netflix. Yep. So if Netflix offers you a movie, you do it.
You can't say no.
You can't say no.
Yeah. Easy money.
The next one is really small beans, but they fall in love, you know, Benny and Debbie Ryan, aka her name is Blair in this. And I have a lot of problems with their love story, but one of which being that Benny is like, I've never met anyone like you before. And like prior to this, like 7 p.m., he was just like a college kid studying econ. And Debbie Ryan is a vampire. And I'm like, yeah, probably right. Haven't met anyone like, and he's just, anyway, he deserves better, but I digress. What is the next low light?
So Alexander Ludwig of the Hunger Games, if you remember the tall murderous blonde from the first Hunger Games movie, that's him. And he's in this movie and I don't know what he's trying to do. He's doing like sort of, you know, like the genre of performance that's like, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal in Nightcrawler. Ooh, or like,
love that movie. Yeah.
Johnny Depp doing anything, or like somebody who's like, this is a small role, but like, I'm going to really
let's bring
something new to it.
Yeah.
That's what Alexander Ludwig thinks he's doing. He's doing like an accent and like a lisp. And like, he's also like clearly trying to be like overtly bisexual, but then like, it's also like, he's very gay, but then he hooks up with Lucy Fry and it's like, buddy.
Right.
It just was, It was a miss. It was a miss. Mm. He really thought he was going to be like the scene stealer, and he was not. He was not.
Yeah, indeed. It felt very much like I'm trying out for a role on Sons of Anarchy, but like, honey, that ended like 5 years ago. So
I just don't know. Yeah, I don't think he knew either.
I don't think he did either.
Not a lot of direction probably given.
No.
And
received. Probably.
Yeah.
Not a lot of vision.
What else, Amelia?
Also, thought this was interesting. I was watching this in the beginning and they have, you know, they're like starring this person in like, you know, productions. And it's like a 42 and unique features production. And they tried to trick us with a 42 production. They thought, hey, maybe there's some dyslexic person who will think this is A24.
Honestly, it looks like it. 42 is really big. They almost got me.
Catching this is so funny.
I was
always got one eye.
I do. And I was like, fuck you. And then I accidentally wrote A24 in the doc, but I had to switch it around.
That's how they get you. Yep.
And they got me. So fuck you, 42 production. God.
You'll never be our real mom.
Never. And then also, I have no place to put this but here, but why does Netflix, I truly need someone to like tap into Ted Sarandos or whatever his name is, his like files, and ask and find out why Netflix continues to choose the most random people to go all in on. Debbie Ryan?
It's kind of unbelievable. This is supposed like a star vehicle. This is Debbie Ryan's movie.
It's honestly. It is.
And she has not, remember the Insatiable, that TV show she like that like crashed and burned. And then I'm looking at her IMDb. Last year she was in a movie called Horse Girl. I just don't know how they make those decisions.
It's wild. And they're doing that with that blonde Australian guy from Sex Life because they're giving him a holiday movie. And I'm just like, why? No one cares. No one's Googling that man's name. No one's Googling Debbie Ryan's name. Why are you doing this? You
think it worked with Vanessa Hudgens, you guys.
That's true. That is true.
True. Maybe they know something that we don't know. Maybe Debbie Ryan is the next great and we will all be eating our words soon.
We'll see.
We will see.
Let's do what's aged the best and the worst. Quickly, the best is people just love to make vampire stuff. In 2021 alone, there was 4 movies released about vampires. And it's it's an evergreen topic, I suppose. But I'm just like, oh my God, how many times I got to see vampires suck person's blood? I don't know. Make more about werewolves on the other side of the Twilight.
Sure.
Pantheon, but into that. Just like not really into it. And then the worst is on like a character personal front. I do think Benny will live to regret his decision. I don't know how much choice he had in becoming a vampire, but he met Debbie Ryan that night. And now he's going to be with her for eternity as a vampire.
That's so true.
The end of the movie is like he's walking out of his class. He was kind of the nerdy, you know, there's these two cool kids in his class that like kind of made fun of him at a club, yada, yada. They walk by him and they're like, oh my God, where have you been? How are you? And he's like, says something like, oh yeah, I'm good, I'm busy. And then he walks into Debbie Ryan's car. It's this cool guy moment, speeds off. I'm like, guys, they're gonna go get their econ degrees and have like a lovely life. And Benny, you probably should have done the same.
Damn.
You know?
You're right.
No.
I worry for him.
Yeah.
What else, Kate?
Age the Worst is basically just like the cheapifying of the John Wick effect. The John Wick movies, you know, really popularized this very like neon lighting, sexy people killing people in clubs, like like very little plot, but like a lot of style, like this kind of action movie.
Yeah.
And this is just like the worst possible like bastardization of that form. I feel like we've just reached like the bottom of it. We've got to stop. Like purple and pink and blue lighting does not a good movie make. I'm sorry.
Agreed.
Yeah.
You got to get Keanu in there. Like, it's not good. So true.
Again, them trying to trick us.
I know. Yeah. It doesn't work. So that has aged the worst for me is the John Wick effect.
Yeah. It's a good take. I agree. Yeah. Amelia?
This is controversial, but
it is controversial.
I know. I want to like Megan Fox. I truly do. But I want to be real right now. Her only good movie is Jennifer's Body. And let's not pretend like she was some iconic aughts era actress who deserves another look. Like, don't get me wrong. I think it was fucked up that she was sexualized the way she was. But let's not pretend her IMDb page is just riddled with like Oscar winning performances. You know what I mean? It's just like, does she deserve another look? I mean, it's just wild because people, they love to take a second look at actors and actresses, which I get, but it's like sometimes these people are acting like she was the second coming of Meryl Streep. And I'm like, no, she wasn't.
She's got a lot of stuff lined up too. It's definitely a Megan Fox era currently, obviously. And I'm again looking at her IMDb. She's got 3 movies in post-production and she's filming 2. She's back certainly.
Yeah. So, but the thing is like, are those movies actual movies that will hit the theater or will they go to VOD? Yeah. It's questionable.
We'll see.
It's a good question.
Yeah. Shall we do MVP?
Let's do it.
Okay. Quickly, I'm giving it to Benny Perez, aka George Lindenberg Jr. I hope he does more stuff. This is hopefully just the beginning for him, and this will be just a blip in his career later on. I thought he was charming and nice.
Agreed. Kate? My MVP is Alfie Allen. Because, you know, after the first half hour of hearing like LA girls just deliver the worst dialogue I've ever heard, Alfie Allen walked into this movie and said two words in his British accent. And I was like, thank God, this is a real actor. It was like hearing someone do Shakespeare on a stage. That was like the difference. I was like, you are just light years above everything else happening here. And it literally, it probably was just the accent. Yeah. And that was just enough for me to be like, oh, actually, this is a real actor.
Yeah.
But it worked. It worked. So
he did bring some prestige.
He did. He needed it. And also, Alfie Allen has been in the John Wick movies. So, like, you know, maybe he brings a little bit of legitimacy to this form.
Yeah.
You think he was on set being like,
this seems a little familiar.
Amelia, who's your MVP?
I would say the city of Los Angeles.
Lovely.
It made me go, damn, LA looks great at night. And just like the aesthetic. And I don't know. I was just like, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Agreed.
Thank you. The lightning round. I wrote these and I apologize that two of them are focused on Twilight, but I gotta do it.
I love it. I love it.
In your guys' opinion, also I love Amelia, your answer to this. In your guys' opinion, do the Cullens live in this extended universe? Kate.
My take is yes, but they're like the embarrassing like extended family that no one in this movie talks to, you know, where they're like, sure, they eat animals, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my take. But Amelia, what are your thoughts?
I said, sure. Yeah.
I mean, Amelia doesn't give a crap about
it. No, I do care. I think, yeah, no, why not? Yeah, definitely.
Okay, great.
Okay, great. Next question. Guess what? It's about Twilight again. Could the Cullen squad, the whole family, take this weird ass group of unhinged vampires, maybe specifically Debbie Ryan and Lucy Fry, the two that are like on the killing rampage?
Absolutely. I mean, Edward, first of all, Edward reads minds. Fucking Alice can see the future. Bella's got whatever shield bolt. Like, they literally are like the Avengers. Like, they have actual superpowers. And these other vampires are just like running around biting people.
I know, but Kate, the Cullens are so soft. They live in Forks. These girls are in Boyle Heights running around eating human flesh.
Ooh. Okay.
And the Cullens are like, oh, we do deer on the weekends and hide in the shadows. No, these girls are clubbing and also stabbing people in the back rooms with their teeth.
You know, I see your point. I see your point. I, you know, the energy, I think they could put up a good fight. But if the Cullens decided to do literally anything, I think they would be toast.
See, I agree. I feel like if they wanted to turn it on, they could turn it on.
Right. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate your input. lastly, which actor in this movie is most likely to be a vampire in real life?
I think I read this question wrong.
You did. It's so funny.
Okay. So just skip over me.
I was like, wait, when is
Google
he in this movie?
Really forget it.
Okay. Wait. I didn't watch like the last 10 minutes of this movie. Full disclosure, I had a meeting. And so I thought that Amelia's actor actually showed
up. Oh, no. I thought, well, it was, which actor? Just in general. And I thought it was like, just in general. I'm sorry. I messed up.
That was so funny.
You have to answer
it. We have
now
to talk about this. Did you actually say the question?
Oh, I think I'll repeat it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Which actor is most likely to be a vampire in real life?
So the intent was from this movie, but Amelia thought any actor.
I feel really stupid now. Okay.
No, just, I didn't specify.
Yeah. It could have been any actor. IRL.
Yeah.
So Amelia, what did you put?
I said, I feel like maybe John Cleese.
So then I was like, oh, John Cleese must show up at the end of this movie that I didn't watch.
Okay, Kate, I can't believe you didn't finish this stupid movie.
Sorry. I had a meeting and I just couldn't start it again. I couldn't do it to myself.
Oh, my God.
Wow, John Cleese. He could be, he's been around a long time.
Yes.
Now I'm picturing him in this movie. I thought he was like the final boss.
Now I'm just on like Google images of John Cleese. I kind of want to stay here. I feel now like my answer is so much more boring.
No.
In the context of this movie, I think everyone would be like, oh, Megan Fox, vampire at home, machine gun killer thing.
Yeah.
No, I think it's Alfie Allen. He has some weird supernatural vibes about him. And I think that he could be a vampire.
No, like, he looks like he's never seen the sun in real life.
And doesn't want to. Yeah. And like, is not missing out. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. I said Debbie Ryan because she's had the exact same baby face for her entire life.
Yes.
I think John Cleese, clear winner.
Absolutely. That's the only answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Last category. Let's do Tea Time's unanswerable questions. Amelia.
Okay. So Pixar released the newest trailer for, or the only, the first teaser for the Buzz Lightyear movie. And we got our first look at Chris Evans as Buzz Lightyear. Obviously, he's just voicing it, but we didn't even get Buzz's voice, which was just stupid. But, and freaking Buzz is kind of a hottie. He's got a giant chin, a giant cleft chin. He's giving me like hot Jay Leno, like, you know, if Jay Leno was hot. He's just like, he looks like an astronaut. Like, so like they nailed the assignment. How do we feel about this new Buzz Lightyear character and trailer?
If I use my entire hand to cover his chin, which he does take my entire hand.
Yeah.
Hot. From like mouth up, thumbs up.
Yeah.
Well, however, if you cover the top of his face, the chin is like just a whole nother head.
They had to make the chin that way because the image of Buzz Lightyear already exists. That's with the gigantic chin. They made him about as cute as they possibly could
have. I agree. Yeah. I agree. He's got a little chin scenario. Dimple. That's cute.
He looks like a bachelorette, a contestant on The Bachelorette.
He really does.
He really does.
Yeah.
And he's got the name for it. And it's just like, this guy's going to...
Is his name
Amelia,
Buzz?
I think just Buzz, L. I think. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Amelia, on Amelia's Instagram stories, she was doing like the whole Bachelorette profile.
Because I have nothing else to do.
Would you like to give some highlights, please? Because it was really good.
Oh, it was just like, you know, love is alien to him, but he's hoping the Bachelorette
nice one.
Thank you. One. Yeah, you know, because I've read a lot of Bachelorette.
He really does look that way.
He does. He does. Yeah.
Although I did see a tweet that was like, Buzz Lightyear, like, this Buzz Lightyear, like, turns his body cam off. So that was tough. I was like, oh no.
What the
he
fuck?
He does look a little...
Oh my God.
Yeah, a little Trumpy, but it's
why
fine.
Why would you break that here?
Sorry, I can cut that. It was really funny, though. He does look like that. He's very, like, young Republicans, like, at the college that you went to, like, requesting you on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Well, now that's ruined.
Sorry.
Can't have literally anything. Okay.
I have something for you, though, for my unanswerable question.
Go ahead.
My question is, do we need to start the Ben Affleck Oscar campaign for The Last Duel? I was not here last week, so I did not get to talk about The Last Duel, which I saw right before I went on vacation because I had to write about the really bad hair.
Right.
And guys, it's a good-ass movie. Mm. It's actually really good. It basically is about what Hunter Harris said on Twitter. Can't say it better myself. It's about bullying Matt Damon. So
we love a movie that bullies Matt Damon.
What is not to love? Ben Affleck just has like this incredible bleach blonde hair and goatee. He spends half the movie just like having threesomes and being drunk and like wearing gold shoes. And he just did not take it seriously at all. It's great. He's great. And I think I need a Ben Affleck Oscar campaign so that J-Lo like can be part of it. And, you know, I just feels like the next step for them.
What's the genre of this movie? Drama?
Yeah, it's like a medieval drama thing with like Jodie Comer and Matt Damon. Sorry, there's a lot of jousting, but it's good. So I recommend. I do. And I'm in on Ben Affleck now. So we'll see how long it lasts.
Thank you. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm in on Ben Bennifer. And I'm in on his Oscar campaign for this movie.
Okay. So they have to last through the new year just until when? February?
I don't know. Yeah, February or March. Okay. They will.
They will. Yeah.
Amelia thinks they're forever. So
I was just going to say.
Yeah, I do. I know that they're forever. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Kaya, our producer. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wettmeyer.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.